Welcome to this special Golden Beach podcast. And this is not going to be a traditional sermon, but I wanted to provide an opportunity for you to hear a brief message as we celebrate this Ash Wednesday and the beginning of the Lenten season. So just some basic foundational things. What is Lent? Lent is the traditional 40-day observance leading up to Easter Sunday in which Christians fast and pray and basically prepare for spiritually for a time of reverence and adoration of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. And the period of Lent begins today with Ash Wednesday and concludes with Holy Saturday. During this period, we celebrate several events. Palm Sunday, which is Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem. Maundy Thursday, which commemorates the Last Supper and subsequent betrayal of Jesus. And Good Friday, which is his death upon the cross. Lent gives us an opportunity to step back and pause to recognize our own humanity and our sinful nature. The Lenten season reminds us of our need for a Savior as we take this special time to reflect and repent for our shortcomings. It's an opportunity to recognize the human condition that we often spend the rest of the year running from, and it is a much-needed opportunity to bring our need for a Savior to the forefront of our minds and of our lives. Lent prepares us as we approach Good Friday and Easter with thanksgiving for the grace and mercy that has been shown to us. And the concept is to open our hearts to God's refining grace through prayer, through confession, fasting, and almsgiving as we anticipate Holy Week. And I'm going to talk about these components here in a few minutes. Lent traditionally lasts 40 days. It's modeled after Christ's 40-day fast in the desert and ends on Good Friday. In the Western Church, Lent officially begins with a reminder of our mortality on Ash Wednesday. I'm often asked, where can I find this in the Bible? And the Bible doesn't record the disciples or the early church observing Lent. Lent is more of a recent tradition, but it's inspired by Jesus' 40 days and 40 nights praying and fasting in the wilderness. And this is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I'm going to read from Matthew 3, and this is the baptism of Jesus. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John." I'm at verse 14 now. It says, "But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' And then John consented." Verse 16 of Matthew 3 says, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" Matthew 4 speaks about Jesus being tested in the wilderness. Starting at verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted." The Greek word for tempted also means to be tested. So he's being tempted or tested by the devil. "After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Now, this is a reference to Deuteronomy 8:3. "Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Again, this is a reference to the First Testament, Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test,'" a reference to Deuteronomy 6:16. Verse 8, "Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. 'All this I will give you,' he said, 'if you will bow down and worship me.' Jesus said to him, 'Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" This is from Deuteronomy 6:13. "Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended to him." This is really interesting that here is Jesus citing scripture to Satan, and Satan reciting it back. So we're gonna talk about that a little more in a minute. Luke 4 also tells the story of Jesus being tested in the wilderness. But we're going to skip ahead to 4, verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went in the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. So let's step back for a second. Why would Jesus go into the desert, the wilderness, for a 40-day retreat after his baptism? Why would this be? It's for the same reason why people go on retreats or take sabbaticals, to refocus on who they are, where they are going, and how to get there. One's perspective about life gets blurred by all the noise and I'll call it the hyperactivity of life. Jesus needed time to understand the revelation of his identity given by the voices of his Father and at his baptism. Remember it said, "You are my beloved Son. My favor rests on you." His fast for 40 days makes this a holy season of self-denial. By rejecting the devil's temptations, he has taught us to rid ourselves of the distractions of the world and the hidden corruption of evil. I found a study Bible or study guide which offered commentary that I'd like to share with you. First, it says, Jesus was tempted as we are. Temptations are not bad in themselves, but it is what we do with them that can help us turn either to God or away from God. And the question is, do you see temptations as ways to turn to God rather than rely on your own resources? I think this is important to ask because we will face temptation daily. And that temptation itself is not bad. But the bad part comes from how we respond to it, right? Lord, protect me from this temptation. Guide me through this scenario. Give me a way out, a way through as you promised. Or does that temptation lead us away from him? And a temptation could be something that is otherwise good, but detracts from our time and attention on God. The second question the study guide had was this. It says, the temptations of Jesus seem different from the ways we are tempted today, or is there a similarity? It says, underneath the different temptations of Jesus, there is the invitation of Satan that he deny his identity as a son of God. Are not our temptations an invitation to deny the kind of person we want to be and instead turn to unhealthy ways to satisfy ourselves? That's an interesting thought. Are these temptations something that makes you question who you are as a good person, as a worthy person? All is defined by God himself. Third, by resisting the temptation, Jesus chose to depend on his Father to satisfy his deepest hunger, to relate with others in an ordinary way and not rely on reputation, power, possessions. And the study question is, how do we satisfy our deepest hungers? Do we depend on prestige and power to make ourselves acceptable to others? Or are you relying on God and his provisions? And the last one, more of an accountability question. Are we going to use the 40 days of Lent as a retreat, making time to be more reflective and prayerful? You know, Ash Wednesday is a Christian holy day of prayer and fasting as the season of Lent begins. Ash Wednesday derives its name from the placing of repentant ashes on the foreheads of participants to either the words, "Repent and believe in the gospel," or perhaps a dictum, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." These ashes are prepared by burning palm leaves from the previous year's Palm Sunday celebration. And this tradition of marking with the ashes is still widely practiced today, but not by all Christian denominations. With the recent global pandemic and, you know, this time of year can be unseasonably cold or bad weather, today it happens to be very beautiful. But many churches are or have not been able to perform this tradition. Perhaps in past years you've seen a friend or a neighbor or coworker with a mark on their forehead or on their hand. And this is really where this practice comes from. You will see it in some denominations more prominently than others. We all recognize the Lenten season leading up to Easter and the Resurrection Sunday. But again, this is based on Lent as a season of repentance and preparedness. The Apostle Paul wrote to the early Christians in Philippi these words found in Philippians 3, verses 10 through 11. He says, "I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead." So how do we do this? How do we know him? How do we prepare? In 1 Peter 5, 6, Scripture tells us to humble ourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift us up in due time. Now, I'm reading Scriptures today from the NIV translation of the Bible. Sometimes the different translations will use slightly different words or phrasing, but in every single translation that I refer to for the service, a reference for the service in this verse, and that was more than 50 versions I looked at, I only found the one that used a different word than humble. The Message, which is a paraphrase more than a literal translation, used a different term, but every single one of the others all said, "Humble yourself." Now that is a very direct and a very clear word. And the Message series that I'll be sharing in the coming weeks, we'll be talking about making room in our lives for God's forgiveness, making room in our lives for trust and faith, and making room in our lives to be love and to love others. And we will discover during the season there are things that allow, and sometimes unintentionally, take the time, energy, and space that God requires to do his good work in our life. This is the heart of the Lenten purpose, to make room for acceptance of the gift of grace and salvation. As I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast message, there are traditions, you know, some might call these pillars of Lent, fasting and prayer and almsgiving. Now, what is fasting? It's not a fad diet, and it's not starving yourself. In fact, we're going to get into fasting this Sunday service, which would be the 18th. Of February, Golden Beach Community Church, and it'll appear on the podcast the next day. We're going to talk about fasting. But fasting, it's controlling yourself to the extent of denying yourself of something. It does not serve a purpose to deprive yourself of something you don't really care about, right? So to give up broccoli for 40 days would not be fasting. What it is that you need to deny yourself something of value, something that you do value, and that may be taking your time, thoughts, energy, even money away from things of greater importance. The purpose of fasting is repurposing the regained time and the regained thought and energy and money into something that focuses on God. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean to him, but certainly the almsgiving portion could be using money for his ministry. So again, if you don't like Brussels sprouts, don't eat them, but don't call that a fast. But what about the hours each day you spend on Facebook? What about the couch time you claim each night that so you can binge sitcom reruns? These are not horrible things, not in themselves, and not all temptations are. But harmless, even otherwise good things can become a problem if you lose sight of the proper priority. In Matthew 6:21, we find these familiar words, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." We know where our heart truly belongs. So make sure you are treasuring the proper things, the things of real value. The psalmist writes in Psalm 69:10, "When I wept and humbled my soul with fasting, it became my reproach." Did you hear that word again, humbled? This Lenten season, I want to challenge you to set aside most, if not all, of this in favor to reading some scripture, doing some community service, praying, or whatever God compels you to do when you finally take a moment to listen to him. But the book of Matthew also shares a word of warning. This is from Matthew 6, 16 to 18. It says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." It is important that everything you do for the Lord, which, by the way, should be everything you do, it's important that you do these things humbly, sincerely, and not for show. when it talks about them being done in secret, it's not a secret per se as much as private, right? We don't do them for show. Give without seeking credit. Serve others quietly without expectation of a return favor or maybe even a word of thanks. The Lord sees that you have done, and the scripture is clear about his promise. It says he will reward you. If you participate in the Lenten season in a way that is more conspicuous than others, the ashes on your forehead, perhaps today, maybe not ordering a soda at the restaurant with your meal when it's always the tradition that you do, or putting your phone down for an extended period of time, when you do these things as an intentional method of fasting, and if you, don't do it for show, but if it's noticed, how should you respond? What if you are asked, hey, I noticed you're off your phone. I noticed you're not drinking soda, and I've seen you drink 3 or 4, in a row before. You should be prepared to answer anyone who asks you about what you're doing and why. And as the Apostle Peter advises in 1 Peter 3:15, he says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Say something like, I'm focusing on something far more important. Or better yet, tell them about that something that's far more important. Share the good news that you believe and a little of your story about what that means to you. Again, this is when asked. If you go up to the counter and, woe is me, I'm fasting from soda this month, it's so hard. That's not the purpose of what you're trying to do, okay? Another pillar of Lent is almsgiving. That's a bit of a churchy word. Almsgiving is sacrificial giving, a giving to God, and as such extends far beyond mere philanthropy. But let's just call it giving for a moment. The same attitude that you should have about your fasting should be taken with giving. Do not give instead of something else. Give in addition to something else. If you're really good about, giving regularly to the church or ministries or nonprofits and all that, continue those things. But when you are called at Lent to do some almsgiving, that is an additional type of giving. If you're already generous with sharing your time and your talents and financial gifts, fantastic. Fantastic. God delights in what you're doing, and I pray that your offerings have been used wisely for God's great purpose in the world. And I challenge you to outgive yourself between now and Resurrection Sunday. In Malachi 3:10, we find this challenge from God himself. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Test me in this. Let's all try to outgive God this season and watch what he does with it. Not because we want the recognition, not because we want, God to bless us. That's really a bonus. Rather, because it is what a loving child of God does. He or she does what is asked of them because they trust and have faith. It is Pastor Robert Morris in his book, The Blessed Life, that he reminds us that it is far better to have 90% of something that is blessed than 100% of something that is not. Okay, he even uses the term 100% curse, but the opposite of blessing is a curse. But he's saying it is better to have 90% of what you have and have it blessed than to have 100% of something and you're not doing the right things with it. Last and certainly not least is prayer. It is the Apostle Paul who writes in Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Prayer is simply a conversation with God. It doesn't have to be eloquent, well-prepared speech with all the thines and thous, unless that's how you always speak. Just talk to your Father. I promise you, he wants to hear from you. The promise of the new covenant that is made with Jesus Christ's crucifixion and resurrection is that you can now and forevermore speak directly to God. You can also ask for forgiveness and repent, which means to turn away from your sins and turn towards God. That's what repent means. Do a U-turn, and you will be forgiven. There are so many promises in Scripture about the goodness, grace, and mercy of God the Father, but they all start with one step, talking to him. Just like with giving, if you're already spending regular time in prayer, great. But for each of us, I issue the same challenge. Let's up our game. If you're wondering what to do with that time you had been spent, on doing those things that you're fasting now, right, getting off Facebook or games or whatever it might be, right, here you go. pray all the more that you can remain disciplined to your commitment. When we celebrate communion as a congregation of the church, where we all gather, I always pause and marvel at the part of the scripture that says, before pouring the wine, he gave thanks. And I feel some conviction about my own prayer life, because if Jesus Christ, the sinless one, the Son of God, who, if he needs to pray and to give thanks, how much more do I? So as I conclude the special Ash Wednesday podcast, I would like to add one more pillar to focus on for our Lenten season of preparation. Let us commit to reading the Word. It is the best way to get to know God and become familiar with his holiness, his promises, and his purpose for our lives. It is by far the best way for us to identify the things that we should be fasting, not just for the next 6 weeks, but for good, literally for good. John 17:17 reads, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." So I would like to conclude with just one more word from Scripture and then a prayer. It's from Zephaniah 3:17. "The Lord, your God, is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." Zephaniah 3:17, that is my benediction over you. Let's pray. Creator God, whatever we can give up for Lent will never match what you gave. We are not able to do what you have done, and our small actions serve only as desperate wildflowers waving in an open field of your mercy and surrender to your majesty. As we clear away distractions you invite us to let go of, hear our prayers of gratitude. Thank you for the ultimate sacrifice of your only Son, Jesus, so that we can know that no matter what the world tempts us with, there is power that overcomes the world. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that gift and grace of mercy. Amen. I'd like to invite you to continue to listen to the Golden Beach podcast. These are simply not an audio recording of our weekly sermon or messages. To reach out to us with questions, comments, with prayer concerns. If we can ever do anything for you, it is a blessing to pray alongside you, whether it's a request, a prayer request, a need, or a celebration. May God bless you and your family. May you use the next 40 days wisely to grow closer to him.